Hey everyone, welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And yeah, we have a couple updates for you, some quick science news. And the first one really is truly an update. A couple weeks back, Gabe, you and I sat here in studio and talked about the fact that there was this Reuters report quoting someone from within the Israeli government that booster shots were a good thing, and they seemed to be working. And that was about the extent of the information that we had. As we said during that show, had no access to the data. Well, it's here. Yep. We now have access to the numbers, and I think it is really important to take a look at what they show. So that research out of Israel, again, to reiterate, Israel has been one of the leaders in the vaccination campaign, primarily, I believe, exclusively with Pfizer-BioNTech. Mm-hmm. And what they've done now is they have taken 1 million Israelis and divided them into basically two groups. Either you're in the group that has gotten the booster shot. The third shot. Mm-hmm. Or you're in the group that has only had the two jabs up to this point.
Okay.
And they call them the non-booster and the booster cohorts respectively. And what their data shows is that 12 days or more after you get that third shot, the rate of confirmed infections and of severe illness cases was more than 10 times lower than in the group that had not gotten that third jab. 10 times lower. Now, before we stick to that number, they then went and took a look at the data again and said, you know, actually, if you're a bit more conservative, the conclusion that they came to is that the number is actually closer to 5. And their logic behind that, I believe, as I understand it, was that there may be behavioral differences between these groups. So if you're the type of person to go out and get that third booster shot, then maybe you're the type of person who, I don't know, behaves more cautiously, or that, you know, you really want to make sure that you're safe. And the group that didn't do that, maybe they're not that way. So again, they ultimately concluded you have about a 5 times lower risk of getting a COVID-19 infection.
Infection. We're talking just merely infection.
Infection and severe illness cases. They put both of those into one group. The rate of confirmed infections and of severe illness. So to me, this is a really clear and compelling case for getting that third booster shot if you can, if your country is offering it. Again, there's a moral, ethical debate to be had about whether some of the countries that have already had two jabs, whether they should be giving the third or instead delivering those vaccines to countries around the world that haven't had a chance.
I think it's more than just an ethical debate, Connor, because you mentioned the study out of Israel. At the same time, a paper has just been published in The Lancet, a huge study, dozens of authors, including people from the WHO and FDA in the United States, saying that the booster is not necessary, and as a matter of fact, not a good idea at this point.
Wait, based on
the science, they're saying that there is the vaccines, primarily among them the mRNA vaccines, are still 95% effective against serious COVID.
Oh, again, severe COVID. Okay. Against...
And that's what they're saying. And of course, there might be some advantages, like you mentioned, out of Israel, that it is more effective against preventing infection. But that is not enough for the risk of taking that vaccine away from the unvaccinated.
And is that their logic? Their logic is it's way, way more important to have the groups of people around the world who have not yet been vaccinated, get them double vaccinated first before you start talking about a booster.
At this point, there are still 5 billion people on Earth who haven't been fully vaccinated. And they are saying here quite clearly in this paper that is the priority right now, not enhancing the immunity of the people who have already been fully vaccinated.
That's where I think you, and I guess I'm talking to our listeners now, you have to really stop and ask yourself where you stand on this, because it's a personal question at the end of the day. I would be the first to admit here that I'd love to get a booster shot. I'd love to get a third one and know that my immunity has gone from like great to almost, you know, superhero style. Yeah. That would feel really good knowing that. But knowing that I've taken that security blanket, taken that shield away from someone else around the world in order to do that, is a bad feeling and would make me want to say no.
Again, that is definitely the ethical question, and it's a question that probably everyone should be thinking about right now. But what they're concentrating on here is the science. The 95% is at the end still there, and that was what the vaccines were supposed to be from the very beginning. It was never a sterilizing immunity that the COVID-19 vaccines were supposed to provide. It was to keep people out of the hospital, keep them healthy in the sense that they're not going to die of COVID-19. And without the booster shot, you have a 95% efficacy against that. So that's what they're looking at here in this paper.
Well, for our final science news wrap-up, we're going to come to you with some more science out of Germany. And Gabe, I don't know if you've heard about this one. Have you heard the phrase in the last couple of days, Mulu?
Mulu?
Mulu.
Mulu.
Yeah.
No.
As in a loo, the British English word for a toilet or a bathroom.
Yeah.
And moo as in, not the moo variant, but a cow, the sound that a cow makes. Mulu. A toilet for cows. This was research done in northern Germany, in this kind of rural agricultural area close to big cities, Rostock.
Yeah.
And there they took 16 calves, baby cows, and they successfully managed to train 10 of them to go pee in one area.
How?
So, yeah.
Where?
It's a little patch of AstroTurf inside.
It had a different color than everything else around. It was
inside a building.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're walking through this concrete alleyway, already undercover.
Yeah.
And then, that's the cage.
Had to go to the bathroom. They were able to.
That's the one. That's the spot where they should go to the bathroom, where they were supposed to.
And they knew
to
for
the
sure that these calves had to go.
Nobody knows that. I just found this out after doing a deep dive into a research paper called Where and When Do Cows Defecate and Urinate?
Yeah.
Published more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
So they have to go between 2 and 20 times per day. So nobody knows when.
Okay.
And it was an open question, at least then, where. But now they've successfully trained 10 out of 16 cows to go back to the same little patch of AstroTurf inside this building.
So they only go there and pee?
They go there. Well, they do it 80% of the time now. And so the way they got kind of interesting. What they did is right from the get-go, they had the first phase, phase one. This was called in-latrine training. So here the cows are just hanging out on this patch of AstroTurf, effectively, where they should be going pee. And every time they do urinate, they get a little treat for it. Some molasses in this case, a little dollop of molasses.
Okay, okay.
So they kind of make this association weird. Every time I
is this Pavlovian?
Yeah. Every time I urinate right here, I get some molasses. It tastes great. I love this.
Okay.
The next phase, phase two, is called toileting training. That's teaching them to go back to this spot. But they're not very far away from it either. So they're down in this kind of concrete alleyway. And then they start to realize, hey, if I go back to that spot and pee, then I get some molasses. That's delicious. And if I don't, somebody shoots me in the face with ice cold water for 3 seconds. And that's how they did this, actually. Although ice cold might be an exaggeration.
And the negative reinforcement had the same effect as the positive? Or?
The negative reinforcement was so good that they had one extra cow that was successful at this part of the task than before. They had 11 out of the 16.
Okay.
This cow's sitting there like, I hate getting shot in the face with water.
Terrible, yeah.
Especially if it's 20 times a day. If they're really going, I mean, how awful is that? Now we go to phase three. Out of the alleyway.
Yeah.
Now they're in an extended part of this alleyway. They're a decent distance away from that patch that they're supposed to go pee on. And just like us human beings, right? If the toilet's too far away, boy, that bush sure looks really inviting.
Yeah.
And so is this going to work in real life? Well, 10 out of the 16 cows did manage to keep going back 80% of the time. Also, this 80% rate, 4 out of 5, again, very human-like, depending on the circumstance. If you walk around a soccer stadium or a sporting event, I would say the rate of people making it to the toilet, maybe 4 out of 5.
Depending on the level of inebriation, yeah.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 could work, yeah.
Yeah, so cows, it's pretty successful. And this might lead you to ask why?
No, this leads me to ask, when is the dog toilet going to be invented?
Ooh.
When are we going to, because this is indoors, right? So now we can train dogs to go to a certain patch of an apartment and go pee there?
I bet there are dog trainers out there based on some of the crazy videos I've seen of well-behaved dogs that have possibly already done that. Yeah, it's Pavlovian. And I'm not sure if this is as much of an issue with dogs, because dogs aren't just consuming, gallons and gallons and gallons of water and urinating or micturating. Did you know that's a synonym for urination? Micturation?
Is it only among cows, or is that a bovine thing? Or
no, for anyone. You can start using
it. I can micturate?
Yeah, if you've got a micturate right now, I might have to micturate after we finish this
talk. Hey, Christoph, you got a micturate?
That's our studio technician shaking his head no. Yeah. I'm not sure he's been following the discussion.
Anyways, okay.
So if these cows are micturating up to 20 times a day, gallons and gallons of urine, what happens is when the ammonia in that urine seeps into the soil and interacts with nitrogen, it ends up creating nitrous oxide. So the same laughing gas, effectively the same stuff that knocks people out when they get a tooth pulled at the dentist's office, floats up into the air, and this is a greenhouse gas, and it's not just any greenhouse gas. It is 300 times more potent in terms of climate change, in terms of global warming, than carbon dioxide, and it stays up in the atmosphere for more than 100 years. It's something like 6%, roughly 6% of global emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, are nitrous oxide. It's also related to agriculture, not just the cows. But
and using this research out of northern Germany, cows around the world could be trained to pee not on grass, but on this astroturf?
That would be one of the conclusions. Yeah, one thing I hadn't even thought through, it was like an aha moment for me, is this line that was in this research. It was published in Cell Current Biology. And what they say in there is that emissions are higher in animal-friendly husbandry, offering cattle more space, so they're outside, which is a trade-off they call the climate killer conundrum. And I had to read this a couple times to understand what they were saying. What they're saying is when cows aren't treated very nicely, you know, when they're locked up in small pens and can't really move, there you do have control of where they defecate and urinate, right?
You can just clean the crap and pee away.
You can. When you talk about organic farming, or you know, where they're able to roam freely and interact with the natural environment, there that's more difficult to control. And so that would be the kind of circumstance where you would love to have these animals trained to go, you know, do their thing in a certain area.
So there would be a patch of astroturf on the field then?
My guess is, it could be somewhere on the field, although you need to have some sort of molasses release mechanism, you know, that's hidden until they pee and then it's triggered. Or
boop.
Yeah, so maybe some work to be done there. But in any case, it's a sign that this could save us from having some more really nasty emissions floating up into the environment when they don't need to be there.
Okay, so we're talking booster shots and bovine micturation.
There you go.
Here today on Science. Any thoughts? Send them to su@dw.com.